Welcome back to Matt Flynn, direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to get back to the Senate race. We just had Peter Pekarsky call in, announce that he is running. He's running, filing his papers. He called on the show previously, a week ago, say that he was considering it strongly, and he is. He's running. He's running. Strong science background. A lot of other candidates in this race, six or more. And remember that ranked choice voting does not apply to the Senate primary. Whoever gets the most votes, even by one, even a plurality of one, is the nominee. But here's the bottom line. We got to beat Ron Johnson. We got to beat him for two reasons. The first reason is, frankly, he is the most vulnerable Republican in the country. That seat is the most vulnerable. We have got to hold that seat. If Moscow Mitch becomes majority leader, the Republicans take back the Senate, they will shut Biden down. Biden will be a two-year president. The last 2 years, nothing will happen. They won't pass a budget. They won't pass a debt limit extension. They won't do anything that he wants. They will injure the country on purpose. They will deface themselves to injure him in the hopes that they can squeeze Trump or some intolerable individual in 2024. We got to hold it. We simply have to hold it. We also have to hold this, not hold, we have to flip the Pennsylvania seat that Pat Toomey is vacating. That should go Democratic. It has to. Because Raphael Warnock, our guy in Georgia, we have to hold him, and he's under attack down there. They're throwing people off the voter rolls and passing very restrictive, repressive voting laws. So, but it starts with Wisconsin. If we don't hold this seat, Moscow Mitch will be the majority leader, and the Democratic Party and Biden are shut down. Period, end of story. A lot of candidates, but no ranked choice voting. So pay attention. Everybody running is going to have something to commend them, and you make up your mind and you go to work for them. And there you have it. We have a new candidate announced today on our show, Peter Pekarsky, electrical engineer degree from MIT, strong science background, is going to run and be interesting to hear what he has to say in the forums and how the others respond. All right, we're going back to other matters. Well, first of all, we're going to go to my friend Mark from the SAC. Mark from the SAC, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Mark?
Well, you're talking about some of the freakazoids from the house that Paul Gosar. Isn't that the guy that was barricading his office when the insurrection was going on, and now he says, oh, it was just nothing at all, and just nothing to worry about.
That was Andrew Clyde of Georgia. He's barricading the door with furniture, and then he said that basically they were just tourists on a tour. And this guy not only is untruthful, but he even denies photographic evidence of what happened. They were in there to kill him. They would have killed him if they got their hands on him, Mark.
It's unfortunate we have all these self-serving, I mean, and people of limit. I don't know how they manage to get through school with what I see. That if something happened to their brains, you know, post-graduation, that is just post-graduation from grade school, for the love of God. And for all these Republicans that have been attending these and observing the fraudit in Arizona or went down to see it, I would actually subpoena each and every one of those and call them to as witnesses in the felony counts that I would bring against each and every one of the little people that are there, you know, doing that fraudit. I mean, that each and every one of them, as far as I'm concerned, is guilty of a felony. Handling those ballots, if they touched any ballot at all, they're guilty of a felony, because that is felonious behavior, and anybody who witnesses it should be subject to subpoena and called to account. If they're not unwilling to testify, then you put them in. You do what other people do when they are unwilling to testify. You put them in jail. And maybe
right.
I'm
right. And you know, something is against the law, as you say, for them to have turned over original presidential ballots and voting machines that were used to cast those ballots. That's against the law. And the Secretary of State in Arizona has said that, and she said that they can't use those voting machines anymore, and now they're going to have to spend a couple of $1 million to get new ones. But more importantly, I've said this, except that, you know, Merrick Garland had barely been confirmed when this happened, but the judge should have stopped the turning over of original ballots to Cyber Ninja. I mean, Cyber Ninja is headed by a guy who's a QAnon guy who said that there was fraud, and he'll find it. And then we find out that some of the data is being sent in a truck, an unmarked truck, to a cabin with no trespassing signs, and nobody knows who owns it. Some guy from, I think, Virginia or Florida is there, you know what, counting it. Are you kidding me? And they've been at this thing, and they still haven't been able to come up with anything. And they're holding these ballots up to the light, looking for watermarks and bamboo. And, you know, I don't trust it. You can't do that. It's against the law. It was wrong. And that leads into an important issue, which is a case pending before the Wisconsin Supreme Court from Arizona. Today is July 1st. It's the end of the term for Arizona. Strike that, for the Supreme Court. The Arizona case is the last one on their docket. And they are off in July and August on vacation. And then in September, they start hearing cases again. Now, there's two things that are of interest, and here's one of them. Stephen Breyer, 82 years old, if he decides to step down so that Biden can appoint somebody and we don't run into a Merrick Garland situation and an Amy Comey Barrett situation, it's frequently the case that you do it as the end of the term. So if he's going to do it, this is probably the time to do it. If he doesn't step down that, and he hears cases in September, then you know he's in for the duration and he's gambling that Biden can get reelected. And of course, I think Biden will get reelected, but you know, there's no certainty in the world. There really is not. But the more important issue right now is, what is this Arizona voting case that's before the U.S. Supreme Court? They have to clear their dockets. And today is when they have to clear them by. Now, sometimes they'll release it later in July and just date it to today. But the fact of the matter is, they may release it today. Here it is. Arizona passed a statute that restricts who can return ballots for incapacitated people, old people, for other people. And then the second thing about this, and there are a lot of others, but the second major thing is people occasionally go to the wrong precinct to cast a ballot. They shift all the time. You know, I vote on the east side of Milwaukee, and occasionally the voting place changes and all that. What happens if somebody innocently goes to the one they normally go to and it got switched? And down there, they do that a fair amount. It's very confusing. And, you know, single mom with two young kids, somebody who's on break from a shift and he can't, you know, hang around too long, they say, all right, cast a provisional ballot. So they cast a provisional ballot, and then they send it over to the precinct where he should have voted. It's cool, legal, gets counted. Arizona is realized, the Republican Party realized, that a disproportionate number of these people are in urban areas and frequently in minority groups, and that's where they're getting their precinct shifted around. And I remember one time I showed up at where I normally voted. They said, no, you're voting over somewhere else. Okay, so I go over there because I had the time to do it. But if I hadn't had the time to do it and they let me do a provisional ballot and said they'd ship it over, I would have said fine. How many of you out there can name the number of your precinct? I can't name the number of mine, believe it or not. Very few people can do that. And how many people are certain that your precinct will be the same the next time around? Very few people, because I don't know if it will be. So those are the two things. The tea leaves, reading the tea leaves from the oral argument, from the people who actually listened to the oral argument, I did not. The Supreme Court was on Zoom the whole year, virtual. And there was a link where the public could hear the argument. You can sometimes tell how judges are going to rule by the questions they ask, their tone of voice. Are they skeptical? Are they asking leading questions that favor the other side? That kind of thing. I'll tell you, I've argued a lot of cases in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago. I've argued a number of cases in the Wisconsin Supreme Court and many in trial courts here and around the country. And you cannot be certain what the result's going to be just by the questions. yes, it can give you an idea, but you can't be certain. You really can't be certain. And so I don't know how they're going to rule, but the expectation among people in the Democratic Party is that they are going to rule, first of all, that Arizona can legislate, that if you cast a provisional ballot in a wrong precinct, it doesn't get counted. I think that would be wrong, but they may do that. And the second thing they may do is say that Arizona can regulate who can return your ballot. Let's say you have a disabled relative, an elderly relative, a relative on oxygen. You know, they don't feel like steering an oxygen container downtown in Uber, you know? Why should they? They give you their ballot in a sealed envelope. Maybe you're the one that witnessed it, and you go down and put it in the drop box. That would be illegal in Arizona under this law. But hey, if you gave it to a relative and they stuck it in the post office, who knows? Are you kidding me? How many times have you had a family member give you a couple of letters and say, would you mail them for me? It happens all the time. Nobody can track that. They don't take fingerprints on these envelopes and decide who put it in the mailbox. And Arizona law does not stop that. So what is the difference between a disabled elderly relative handing a ballot that's sealed to you to drop in a post office box as opposed to a drop box? The real impetus is they don't want drop boxes. And this is one sneaky way of getting away from drop boxes. That's ridiculous. If you can be handed the letter to mail it, you can be handed the letter, in my view, to lawfully file it somewhere else. So if the Supreme Court upholds that, they have some splaining to do. Believe me, they have some splaining to do. What progressives are really worried about and hope does not happen is that they restrict the ability of people to argue that minority voters are disadvantaged. You know, it's one thing for them to uphold Arizona's laws here. It's quite another for them to shut down this kind of litigation entirely. I am a little more optimistic than that. I don't think they will, and I don't think it's a foregone conclusion how they'll vote. But stay tuned. This is a very, very important issue, and it should be decided either today or sometime in July. Going to break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.